numerous briefs representing a wide array of viewpoints have been filed in this case. We maintain, however, that this case can and should be decided by focusing on the common ground. That common ground consists of a number of facts and principles that we believe are beyond any reasonable dispute. In our view, many of those undisputed facts and inarguable principles militate against incorporation of the right to bear arms through the 14th Amendment. We believe that this holds true regardless of whether the court considers incorporation through the Due Process Clause or through the Privileges and Immunities Clause. Because of ADL's expertise in the area of extremist violence, we analyze the issue by reference to the following four facts, which we believe are as compelling as they are obvious. First, there is no question that the culture of extremist groups includes an obsessive fascination with firearms and a willingness to engage in shocking, often deadly violence against particular religious, racial, and ethnic groups. All too often, armed extremism leads to violent extremism. That is a tragic but indisputable fact. Second, in recent years, extremist groups have dramatically increased in their numbers and in their zeal. A single fact probably suffices to tell the story here. After the election of Barack Obama, so many white supremacists tried to post messages to a website popular among anti-Semites and neo-Nazis that they crashed it. Third, the government must have the authority to adopt reasonable measures designed to keep guns out of the hands of these extremist groups and individuals, those who would engage in violent hate crimes. Of course, those measures will meet with incomplete success. But gun control regulations sometimes also fail to keep guns out of the hands of felons and the mentally ill. And the court in Heller acknowledged the wisdom of those long-standing prohibitions. Besides, the question before the court is not whether the government will wholly succeed. The question is whether the court should interpret the Constitution in a manner that effectively prevents the government from trying. Fourth, the vast majority of gun control regulation has come from the states. Indeed, state and local units of government are in the best position to tailor these particular regulations to the needs of their communities. Justice Kennedy has observed that such regulations provide an opportunity for the states to, quote, perform their role as laboratories for experimentation to devise various solutions where the best solution is far from clear, unquote. The best solution for keeping guns out of the hands of violent extremists may be far from clear, but it is completely clear that no successful experiment has ever emerged from a laboratory that has been shuttered. Incorporation threatens precisely that effect. If the Constitution requires incorporation, however, then we believe that it is critical for the court to recognize the serious perils that would attend a decision to do so through the Privileges and Immunities Clause. Indeed, petitioners appear to invite this court to engage in nothing less than a wholesale reexamination of the meaning of the clause and of the predicates for incorporation. We think this would be a serious error, again, because of a collection of facts and principles that we think are beyond any reasonable dispute. First, there is no question that, for a variety of historical reasons, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment has come to serve as the primary means for preventing state infringement of the constitutional guarantees reflected in the Bill of Rights. Over time, a well-settled body of constitutional jurisprudence concerning incorporation through the Due Process Clause has evolved. Indeed, it is not overstatement to observe that this jurisprudence has been woven into the fabric of our shared national understanding of what the Constitution demands. This traditional framework suffices if incorporation is the right constitutional result. Second, there is no question that, also for a variety of historical reasons, a comprehensive and nuanced jurisprudence concerning incorporation through the Privileges and Immunities Clause has not evolved. Indeed, this clause has, for all relevant purposes, laid dormant and unchartered. We have no well-settled and well-used body of case law here, just the vehement disagreements of various legal scholars about what the clause means and requires. Third, deciding this case based on a novel interpretation of the Privileges and Immunities Clause could have dramatic consequences. It could call into question decades of case law that has provided critical protection to various racial, ethnic, and religious minorities. It could destabilize a body of precedent that protects the civil rights of millions of Americans. It could unsettle that which took decades and the blood and lives of many to settle in the first instance. Justice Roberts has remarked that, quote, if it is not necessary to decide more, then it is necessary not to decide more, unquote. It is not necessary for this court, in this case, to embark on a rudderless voyage into the possible meanings and implications of the Privileges and Immunities Clause. The court should therefore respectfully decline to undertake such a perilous journey toward such an unpredictable destination.